So over the last couple of weeks, we've been chatting about friendship. That's great. Friendship is God's idea and it's part of God's plan for you and me. But we can't talk about friendship without talking about failure, because as friends, we do fail one another more often than we'd like to admit. I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take another look at this whole issue of friendship from a different perspective. And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about Christianity Works' free daily devotional. It's called Fresh, and it's all about helping you be all that God made you to be in this year that lies ahead. We've been chatting these last couple of weeks about the whole subject of friendship. Not something we talk about that often. It's something we kind of, we take it for granted. And yet friendship, relationship, love, sacrifice, those things are at the very centre of God's plan for this world. As we've seen over these last couple of weeks, God looked at Adam when he created him and said, "Hey, you know what? It's not good that this man should be alone. I'll make for him a helper as his partner." Why? Because, you see, you and I are made in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God, a God of relationship and community and love for all eternity. I've heard some people postulate that the reason God created you and me was that he got lonely. God was never lonely, because God is three persons in one. And that's a mystery that I think I will spend the rest of eternity wrapping my mind around. Now, you see, God created us so that he could show us his great love, so that we could behold his awesome glory. That's why God created us. And he created us in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We have been created in the image of a relational God. Male and female, he created us. But although we're created in his image, there's one big difference between us and God. One difference that God allowed to happen in order that we should have a free will, either to love him or not to love him. For without free will, love can't be love. As A.W. Tozer writes in his book, The Pursuit of God, "You and I are in little, our sins accepted, what God is in large. Being made in his image, we have within us the capacity to know him. In our sins, we lack only the power." It's our sin that sets us apart from God in more ways than one. And our sin means that our capacity for love and friendship and relationships is marred and twisted and often perverted. This is why people have arguments and disagreements. This is why marriages fall apart. It's why beatings happen. It's why exploitation happens. It's why wars happen. Because through our rebellion against God, that's what sin is, we lose the ability to live together, to work together, to honour one another in perfect relationships, just as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit honour one another in the perfect relationship that we call God. You see this time and time again throughout the Bible. Over the past few weeks, we've talked a lot about the friendship between Jonathan, King Saul's son, and the heir to the throne of Israel, young David. Jonathan eventually gave his life in order to be David's friend, but only because his father, Saul's sense of friendship and loyalty became so twisted, so perverted, so jealous that he set his heart on killing David, not once but many times, this young David who God himself had chosen to be the next king after Saul. Why? Because Saul was jealous of David's success and popularity and God's hand on his life. Have a listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning at verse 5. "David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. As a result, Saul set him over the army, and all the people, even the servants of Saul, approved of him. As they were coming home, when David returned from killing the Philistines, the women came out of all the towns of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy and musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they made merry, 'Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands.' Well, Saul was pretty angry, for this saying displeased him. He said, 'They've ascribed to David tens of thousands, and to me they've ascribed only thousands. What more can he have but the kingdom?' So Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul threw the spear, for he thought, 'I'll pin David to the wall.' But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000, and David marched out and came in leading the army. David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. Do you see how our selfishness and pride and anger births something evil in our hearts? It unlocks a powerful evil in the spiritual dimension. Do you see how our sinful nature and our sinful thoughts can lead to a breakdown in God's plan for perfect love and unity and friendship? This is why friends fail. This is why sometimes people turn against us, because their sinful thoughts and sinful desires have unlocked a spirit of evil that grips them and leads them to sinful acts. And whilst we might say, well, yeah, right, that's a bit extreme, I've never tried to kill anyone with my spear. Have a listen to another example, a much more recent one, one that happened about 1,000 years later after this whole Saul-David thing in the first century AD. One that a few of us may well relate to it just a bit more closely, Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 32. Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After they'd been there for some time, they were sent off in peace by the believers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, and there, with many others, they taught and proclaimed the word of the Lord. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, look, come on, let's go and return and visit the believers in every city where we've proclaimed the word of God and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, with them. But Paul decided not to take with them one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and who had not accompanied them in their work. In fact, the disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and set out, the believers commending him to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You know what we've just witnessed here between Paul and Barnabas? This is the first church split. Paul and Barnabas had this huge barney, this huge argument, and they went their separate ways. Let me ask you something. Can you imagine God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit doing that? No. But Paul and Barnabas did, even though they'd been through a huge amount together in ministry already. Why? I mean, why didn't they go to God and pray and ask God to reveal what they should do? Should they take Mark with them or not? Perhaps God did want them to go their separate ways, so why didn't they figure that out in love and relationship? Because we as friends sometimes get on our high horses and we snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Good friends make us stronger. Friends encourage us. Friends help us. Friends help us to see when we're operating in pride rather than for God's glory. Friends are invaluable. But if Satan, if he can get in there and create merry hell literally by pulling us apart, he wins a small victory along the way. That's why the stuff we've been talking about these last few weeks is just so important. That's why learning godly friendship, learning to yield, learning to take up our cross and follow Jesus into godly relationships is so powerfully important. Friends are going to fail us sometimes. It's just the way it is. But that failure is not something that we should allow to tear us apart, because if we do, guess what? The devil wins. Sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with God. So before I go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional to help you be all that God made you to be. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement. And the best news is that it's completely free and delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word fresh for you each day. To receive your free devotional, just jump onto the website freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there for you. As a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head across to the website and sign up to receive Fresh. I pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. That web address again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.